Hey everyone, this is Scott DeLuzio, and I just want to, first off, start this episode taking a moment to say thank you. This is episode 500 of the Drive On podcast. That's a number I never really imagined hitting when I started this thing. It's kind of surreal to look back at where this all began and see how far the show has come. I don't really think I could have done all these episodes without the support of the listeners, though. You know, honestly, if none of you were listening, I probably would have thrown in the towel a long time ago. It just stopped doing it. But because you guys keep listening, because you guys keep tuning in, I know I must be doing something right. And I keep putting out these episodes because, quite frankly, I want to be here to help you guys. And you know, I want to put these messages of hope out there for folks. So whether you've been here since the beginning in the early episodes where I still didn't really know what I was doing with this podcast, or you're tuning in for the first time, just want to welcome you to the show. And I want to make this episode a little bit different. You know, given that it's episode 500, I want to make it a little more special, a little more personal. I want to answer a few questions that listeners have sent in. And I also want to take the opportunity to reintroduce the podcast, tell you guys what it's all about, who it's for, and why it even exists in the first place. It's been a long time since I've done any sort of introductory episode, 500 episodes to be exact, since I've done that. And so I want to do kind of a reintroduction. I think that's a lot long overdue because there might be some folks who are coming along to this podcast for the very first time and maybe don't want to scroll all the way back 500 episodes to figure out what this show is all about. So you know, here we are, and I'm going to try to give it to you, you know, give you the you know, rundown of what this show is all about. So, you know, I started the Drive On podcast after I lost several guys that I served with in Afghanistan and, you know, other places in the Army. And, you know, they came home from their deployments and they took their own lives. And to me, that was unacceptable that we were losing folks. We went to a place where people wanted to kill us, and we survived there, and we came home where people want nothing but the best for us, and that's when we're losing people. Like, that just didn't make sense to me. You know, and at the same time, I was dealing with my own issues, PTSD, grief after losing my brother, Stephen. He was killed in action while we were both deployed to Afghanistan, and that loss hit me hard, not just because I lost my brother, but I feel like I lost part of myself with that loss. I was a soldier. After losing him, I kind of just didn't care about the Army, being a soldier. I didn't care about any of that stuff. I ended up getting out of the Army shortly thereafter. And so it hit me hard. It wasn't something I could easily process or even talk about. And like many veterans, I tried to just push it down and just carry on with life. But that didn't work out so well. Had it not been for the tremendous amount of help that I received from my family and later through the vet center, the VA, and other folks that I got help through, I may have gone down a different path than the one that I eventually did go down. So I can feel the pain of those who decided to punch their ticket. And I feel like I couldn't just sit back and wait to hear that another friend took their life. Or felt like they had to deal with whatever they were dealing with all alone. In my mind, something just needed to be done. Yeah, I didn't know exactly what that something was at the time, but this podcast became that something. It was a place where we could share stories, we could talk about the struggles that veterans face, and more importantly, I think we can highlight the ways that people are overcoming those struggles that they're dealing with. And that's what Drive On has really always been about from the very beginning, is providing hope to those who might feel hopeless, and I also maybe a little bit selfishly benefit from hearing stories from the guests that we have on this show. Some people have asked about the title of the show, Drive On, and looking back, I may have named it something different so it wouldn't be confused with car-related topics and driving and that type of thing, but at this point, I'm committed to it and don't really want to change it now. Plus, I have all the swag and the merchandise all created already. I don't want to go and change all that right now, but no, anyways, you know, more seriously, Drive On is a phrase that was used in the military that we use from time to time that refers to, you know, when you're going through, you know, some task that you're trying to complete, and you have to complete no matter what. You have to get this mission accomplished, and there's some hardship, there's some suck that's going on. That's when you have to just drive on, and you have to continue through whatever that hardship is. When we return from a deployment or transition out of the military, we experience combat or lose a friend, we all have our own hardships that we're dealing with, and we have to overcome them. No matter what, we have to figure out a way to get through them. And so that's where drive on comes from. There's other similar phrases that might be more popular in other branches of the military, which, to be perfectly honest, I wasn't aware of at the time that I started this show. Things like carry on, hold fast, and I'm sure there's others. So other branches may not be quite as familiar with drive on, but to me, it had that meaning. And so regardless of what term you might be most familiar with, the idea really is the same. The podcast is designed to help those in the military community who are stuck or struggling so that they can find ways to keep going and continue to try to live a better life. And I want to actually take a second here. I mentioned in the beginning I was going to answer some listener questions, and I thought it was good to just kind of weave them in where appropriate throughout the episode here, because some of the questions relate to some of the stuff I wanted to talk about anyways, and so, you know, what better way to kind of weave them in than just to fit them in here. So I want to answer a listener's question here because it does fit in naturally with what I was just talking about. And the question comes from Daniel Odell, who some listeners may know as the guy with the fluffy poodle with green hair. If you've ever seen him in person, his service dog is a big old poodle. He dyed the hair on top of his head green. And so it's kind of funny to see, but also I got to know Daniel when we met last year at the Military Influencer Conference. Great guy. And his question is, what is your why behind your why? I'll be honest, at first when I got that question, I wasn't sure how to answer the question. Took me a minute to kind of think about the why behind the why. I think I talked a little bit about the why. I suppose like that first why is what we already talked about here. I started the podcast to support the veterans who are dealing with PTSD, transition challenges, and feeling disconnected from the civilian world. Maybe even feeling disconnected from their own families. The why behind that why, though, is that I've personally experienced some of the struggles myself. I know what it's like to feel isolated, to feel like if I just drank enough to pass out, I'd be able to get some sleep, and I won't have to deal with those thoughts that are in my head. I know what it's like to walk into an office on the civilian side and hate that everyone is absorbed in some bullshit that really doesn't matter. You know, what so-and-so said on The Bachelor, or who won the game last night. The water cooler talk became like a special kind of torture to me. So much so that it was a struggle to even get out of bed to go to work every morning. For me, the highlight of my day was either sitting in the drive-thru line at Dunkin' Donuts to get my morning coffee, or the commute home when I was just by myself and I didn't have to deal with any of the things that were going on in the office, any of the coworker chatter that was going on. Don't get me wrong, nothing wrong with the people that I worked with at the time. It just, for me, I wasn't able to handle it. The conversations that were being had in the office. You know, sitting at my desk, I couldn't concentrate. And I hated all the things that were going on around me. But I knew that wasn't the type of husband, the type of father, son, neighbor, coworker, or whatever other relationship I had with people at that time that I wanted to have. I didn't want to be full of hatred. Not because I wanted something different for myself. I never really looked at it like I need to change for me. And maybe that's not the right way to look at it. Maybe I do need to change for me. But I knew that those people deserved something better from me. I needed to be putting something better out for those people. I didn't want my kids growing up with a dad who was constantly angry and constantly drunk and constantly, you know, just a miserable person. So when I see other people struggling, like I did, and quite frankly, still do from time to time, I see a bit of myself in them. And so my why behind the why is, I guess, kind of simple. It's anyone out there who feels like they're caring too much and doesn't see a way forward, the show exists to remind them that they're not alone and that there are paths out of whatever dark hole they may find themselves in. There's other podcasts out there doing great work for the veteran community. I don't see any of those podcasters as competition. As a matter of fact, I'm friends with them. I know them. I've swapped on each other's shows. I've done an episode on their show. They've came onto my show and promoted, on each other's platforms. We still talk to each other and we still, share things with each other. Even guests, hey, I got this great guest. They'll be a great fit on your show, and vice versa. We do all that. I see them more as teammates in this effort to help reduce veteran suicide and improve the lives of the people who served. The fellow veterans that we're trying to help. Drive On is a show where veterans share how they got through their darkest moments and how they're thriving now. But it's not all doom and gloom. We talk about the healing, the growth, and the tools that people use to get through that darkness. We also talk to people from organizations doing amazing work, nonprofits, therapy providers, alternative treatments, basically anyone out there helping veterans in ways that maybe are just not available through the VA. Or maybe they are available and folks just don't want to go through the VA for one reason or another. I mean, I think anyone who's been to the VA can understand that. Not to say that everyone's bad at the VA, but there's some experiences may not be all that great. And so, perhaps there's another option out there. And that's what I try to highlight with the show. I wanted it to be something that any veteran could listen to for free. I didn't want it to be behind a paywall or anything like that. I figured when I started this show, podcasts are free. So I thought that was a perfect medium to use. The only problem at that point was that when I started the show, I really didn't have any idea how to run a podcast. I didn't know the technical side of things, how to market the show, or, honestly, even if anyone would listen. I thought it was a good idea, but didn't mean that anyone else would. For the first, 5 or 6 episodes, I didn't tell anyone that I was even starting a podcast, other than my wife. She knew, which I later learned is probably the worst way to start a podcast, by not telling anyone that you're starting a podcast. It's not the field of dreams. If you build it, they're not going to just come. Listeners aren't going to just start flocking to you unless you start telling people. But eventually I started figuring things out. And I'm big on optimizing things. If there's something I have to do more than once, I want to figure out a way to automate it. And I eventually automated the entire guest onboarding process, which takes a bunch of tasks off my plate, makes a better experience for the guest, and keeps me sane, quite frankly. So I don't have to try to remember all the things that I need to do for each episode. And after doing 500 episodes, I'm glad that I figured out some of those processes. And actually, speaking of that, I want to get to another listener's question. This one is from JP Perez, who I had on the episode, had on an earlier episode titled Transforming Lives with VetRise Academy. That's his business, VetRise Academy. He's out there helping veterans. It's episode 444. I also met him at Military Influencer Conference this past year. Also another great guy. So JP's question is, what is one thing you would have started doing sooner with your podcast that was a game changer? And I would say getting better systems in place earlier. Things like scheduling tools, get the guest onboarding process, the audio and video editing processes. I would have, maybe not prioritized the gear as much as I would the processes. The tech side of things, I felt like were, whatever you have, I think you can make a decent podcast out of. But I would focus on the processes to make sure that, I'm not forgetting to schedule a post or schedule an episode to go out. I record all my episodes way in advance of when they come out. sometimes months in advance. So I think my biggest backlog has been about 4 to 5 months or so of episodes. And so I always record them in advance, but scheduling them, remembering to edit them and get them out at the right date, at the right time. I haven't missed a single week since I started this podcast. When I first started, I was releasing one episode a week for the first couple of years, and then I switched to 2 episodes a week, and I have not missed a single week or a single scheduled episode since I started. There have been some tech glitches where an episode didn't get out when it was supposed to get out, but the episode was done. It was there. It was just some technical difficulties that prevented it from getting out at the right date or time. But you know, regardless of all that, the systems are the things, the processes are the things that I would have focused on earlier had I known. If I was to start another podcast, I would start from scratch with the processes and make sure I had those down pat. Early on, I was kind of winging it, and that's fine when you're just starting and you're trying to get your feet wet and try to figure things out. But having a process really helped me focus more on the conversations and less on all the technical stuff. Another related question that we have is from another former guest, Doug Brinker, from episode 360 titled Beacon for Hope. Doug's question is a 2-part question, and he asked, what drew you to start a podcast, and what does it take as far as equipment, platform, etc., to make it happen? And I touched on some of this earlier, but what drew me in was that feeling of needing to do something. A podcast felt like the best way to reach people and give them a voice and offer something helpful to those who are out there, maybe isolating by themselves, you know, just not not really willing or able to reach out and speak to other people. And I figured even if a podcast wasn't the right something to do, it would at least get me started. I knew I wanted to do something, and I wanted to be able to fail fast and get something started so that I could move on to something else if the podcast wasn't working. Fortunately, you know, I obviously after 500 episodes, I think I figured out that it was the right platform and the right media. But it could have gone a different way. Who knows? As for equipment, I think I kind of touched a little bit on this earlier, but you don't need a studio to get started, like any fancy recording setup and anything like that. I mean, a decent mic, headphones, and a quiet space to record goes a long way. I've had some audio snobs tell me that a Blue Yeti microphone, for those who aren't familiar, that's a brand of microphone, a Blue Yeti wasn't good enough for a podcast, at least not a good quality podcast. And I also played an episode that I recorded with a Blue Yeti microphone for them, and they told me that it sounded great. And so clearly they didn't have a clue what they were talking about. I use the same Blue Yeti microphone for most of the episodes that I recorded, and I only recently started using the microphone that I am using right now. It's a Shure MV7. I only started using that recently, and I'll admit that it does sound better, but it certainly isn't necessary. I do use podcast hosting platforms, YouTube, and my website to distribute the episodes. That's kind of a common thing that most people use, any combination of those things to get episodes out there. So that's kind of just a standard practice. And I keep things pretty streamlined as far as that's concerned. The one thing I realize with any technology, whether it's microphones or headphones or cameras or even computers, for that matter, is that by the time you get your hands on any piece of technology, there's going to be a faster, better option available the next day, the next week, the next month. So, yeah, sure. Could you wait around for that new thing to come out? Yeah, absolutely. But you're going to have something better come out, you know, a month, 2 months, 3 months later. And, you know, you're not going to just keep waiting for the next best thing to come out, because there's always going to be something better at some point. I think the more important thing is that you're consistently putting out episodes. If you can do, based on your schedule and your, you know, other commitments that you have in life between your work, your family, you know, other volunteer activities, your church, your whatever it is that you have going on in your life. If you can do one episode a week, great, do that. If you can only do one a month, fine. That's fine too. Just do that. But be consistent. Whatever it is that you're going to do, be consistent with it. If at some point you need to scale back, let the audience know what to expect. Because if you don't, and you just suddenly stop publishing episodes, people may just assume that you've ended the show and unsubscribe altogether. And then you lose that listener going forward. So, you know, be upfront, be, talk to your audience and let them know, hey, I've been doing it once a week, but honestly, it's too much for me. And I don't want to let you guys down. And, maybe I'm going to scale it back to, every other week or, once a month or something like that. That would be my advice. Anyways, I'm not an expert. I've been doing this for a while, but by no means am I an expert at any of this. So there may be other advice out there, but I think the same thing goes with tech. Use what you can afford. A $400 microphone may sound better than a $99 microphone, or even less. But I'd rather listen to an episode recorded on that $99 microphone than not listen to an episode at all, because you're waiting until that $400 microphone was something that you can afford, whether you're saving up for it or you were waiting for it to come down in price as technology changes or whatever the case may be. I'd rather listen to the episode on the $99 microphone if it meant not listening to an episode at all was the alternative. So yeah, you could get the best audio quality with, a more expensive microphone. You could also get better quality by renting out a recording studio and paying all sorts of money for every episode. But how sustainable is that? I mean, sure, if you have sponsors and all this money flowing in from it, yeah, probably you can do that. And it'll sound great and it'll look great and everything will be wonderful. You'll have top tier production. But, reality is most of us don't have that. So just use what you can, do what you can afford. And I will say, though, that I do use a program called Descript to edit the episodes. And actually, it's what I'm recording this episode in right now. And it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's invaluable. It saves me so much time and has some features to just automate a lot of the editing process. It lets you do scene transitions, create social media clips, and all sorts of other things. And, it's honestly, it's just a great program. When I first heard about it, I was like, this thing kind of sounds too good to be true. But it lets you do edits just as if you're editing a Word document. It lists out the whole transcript of the episode, all the words that you spoke during the episode. And you can, if you want to cut out a section, like, hey, I screwed up the way this sounds, you can just highlight the text and hit delete and it's gone. Not just from the text, but also from the video and the audio and all that too. So it's really, to me, it was a game changer as far as the editing process goes. And, I don't know that I would have been able to keep up with all the episodes that I've been doing had it not been for that. So I'm actually going to put in my affiliate link in the show notes. So, if you do use it and you click through that link, you make a purchase, I'll make a little bit of money, which I'll use to offset the cost of running this show, which, by the way, is all out of pocket. I've had a couple sponsors, but really not a ton. And, pretty much everything is out of pocket as far as all the expenses go. And it does get expensive to run a podcast. So, actually, another question that I got from a listener is, has this podcast changed me? And if so, in what ways did it change me? And I think absolutely it has. Every episode is a reminder that people are out there doing the work, healing, helping others, building something better. And I get to be a part of that in one way, shape, or form. Even if it's just spreading awareness that there are people out there that are able to help. On a personal side, it's helped me process some of my own grief and trauma, kind of opened me up to different ways of thinking about some of the things that I've been going through. And hearing from other veterans and family members, it's helped me realize that I'm not alone. And hopefully that's the same for the listeners, you guys listening. Hopefully you realize that you're not alone either. And it has created a sense of connection which has been really, really powerful. It's also made me realize something about the veteran community. Speaking of that, oftentimes, actually, the vast majority of the time, the first time I speak with the guest is just a few minutes before we hit record. So as the listener, you're seeing two strangers who also happen to be veterans interact for the very first time. And by the end of the recording, it sometimes seems like we've known each other for years. At least it does to me. Sometimes the dark, twisted humor that we all share helps accelerate that process. But, you know, it makes the sometimes awkward moments of talking to someone new a little less awkward. But it also shows that it is possible for two veterans or just two people to share their ups and downs together. You know, if I can do that with the guests that I've had on this show, then hopefully the listeners can realize that they can talk to somebody too. You know, whether that's a mental health professional, their chaplain or priest or, you know, whatever religious figure that is in their life or, you know, even a battle buddy. You know, someone is there for you. And it's also made me a little bit more hopeful. You know, we hear a lot about the problems that we have and the 22 a day and all the things, the negative. We hear all this stuff. But through this podcast, I've seen the solutions and the resilience and the grit that veterans possess. And I don't know, I guess it's kind of impossible not to be changed by that. Again, hopefully, that's what's helping some people out there. Hopefully, people are listening to this podcast, not just this episode, but other episodes, and seeing some of the same things that I'm seeing between the solutions and the grit and the determination that veterans have to make a better life for themselves, for their families, for whoever it is in their life that they need to make a change for. They're doing something, and hopefully, you know, that's changing some folks as well. You know, one of the hardest things about doing this show is talking with family members who've lost a loved one to suicide. There's a heartbreaking consistency to those conversations, though. You know, not one of those family members has ever said that they were relieved that their loved one was gone. Not one ever said that their loved one was a burden. Quite the opposite, actually. They all wished that they had more time. They all would have done anything to help, to support, to listen, even just to sit quietly with that person if it meant that they'd still be here. And that's one of the things that's so tough to hear, because so many veterans carry this idea that the people in their lives would be better off without them, that they're a burden, that they're dragging everyone else down. I think a lot of it, especially amongst the guys, is that we see ourselves as the protectors or the providers for those around us. If we're asking those people for help, then we're not living up to our mission or pulling our weight, I guess is a better way to say it. But it's just not true. Now, I've talked to these families. I've seen the heartbreak and the what-ifs that never go away. If you're struggling and you think that no one would care if you're gone or they're better off without you, I want you to know that someone absolutely would care. And hell, if you cannot think of a single person who would care, then think of me. I do. That's why I keep doing this. This takes so much of my time between recording these interviews and editing the interviews and the social media posts, which, by the way, I freaking hate social media. And the fact that I'm doing anything on social media must tell you something. You know, I keep doing these things because I give a shit. I'm not doing this because I want fame or notoriety, and God knows I'm not getting it. So, you know, why would I keep doing it if I'm not getting it? I'm not doing it for that. You know, use me if you can't think of anyone else. So there's always at least one person who'd care. I guess the pain of your absence would cause more pain and would echo far beyond what you would imagine. It would just reverberate out. We've talked about this on the show before, but for anyone who hasn't heard this, you know, think of it like throwing a rock in a pond and you see the ripples that go out from there. If you're gone, yeah, it's going to affect your immediate family. You know, those people who I was just talking about, the people who that care, you know, that the people who want you there. But because it affects them, it's going to affect the people in their circle as well. It's going to affect their neighbors, their coworkers, their other family members. It's just going to affect other people in their circle, which then affects other people in that other circle. And it just reverberates out from that middle, core person, which is you. And it's going to reverberate out from there. So, and it's not going to put out good positive vibes. It's not going to make things better for those people. It's going to make it worse. And so I don't think anyone wants that for anybody else. I don't think we want, you know, for our families, for our friends, for our, you know, whoever it is in our lives that we care about. Like, I don't think we want to make things worse for them. But every single time I talk to somebody, that's what I find. I find it just makes things worse. And that's what, I guess, the message that I want to drive home is, if you're in that dark place and you're thinking that the world would be better off without you, it's just not true. It's never true. The people who love you want you here. They want you to get help. They want to be the help, if they can be. And they don't think you're a burden. You know, reverse the roles. If somebody that you care about came to you and said, "Hey, I'm really struggling here, and I don't know what to do," I mean, tell me you wouldn't put everything aside to help them out. Tell me that you wouldn't be pissed off if they didn't come to you. That's the way they'll feel too. They'll feel pissed off that you didn't come to them, that you didn't reach out and get some help, that you didn't raise the red flag and say, "Hey, I am in over my head and I cannot, I am treading water, but just barely. I'm in so far deep that I don't know if I can keep swimming." They want you to raise that red flag. So, you know, that's really what this show is about. And, you know, it's not all, you know, negativity and doom and gloom and things like that. We have fun. We laugh, we joke. I talked about the dark humor, the silly things that we joke about in the military, you know. And, you know, a lot of times I'll have, you know, I was an Army veteran. I'll have folks from different branches on the show who, you know, we get under each other's skin a little bit. We you know, make fun of the Marines for eating all the crayons. You know, now our kids don't have anything to draw with because they ate all the crayons. And, you know, we make fun of the Air Force the Chair Force, for their cushy accommodations. And, let's not forget about the Coast Guard. They might get their ankles wet walking to the ship that they're going on. We joke around, you know, it's all in good fun. And if you're watching the video, you see behind me, I have the flags of every branch in our military. I have, you know, the Army, the Marines, the Navy, the Air Force, the Space Force, the Coast Guard. I got all those flags there because this show is for all of you. It's not a single branch. There's not a single veteran. There's not a single person who is not included in who this show is designed for. You know, we're here for everybody. It's not an Army show. It's not a Marine show. It's not a Navy show. It's not an Air Force show. It's not a Space Force show, because there would not be a very large audience for that. But, you know, it's not a Coast Guard show. It's a veteran show. I don't care what branch you served in. I don't care what uniform you wore. If you're out there and you're struggling, we're here to help. That's what we're trying to do. I do want to wrap up this episode, though, with a lighthearted question from one of the listeners, Jeff Circle, also another previous guest, from episode 363, titled "Empowering Veterans Through Writing." He asked, "What is your most memorable moment, and what is your most dumb host moment?" You know, the thing that I did that made me feel all embarrassed. That type of thing, I guess, is what you're looking for. As far as memorable moments, there have been a lot of meaningful conversations over the years. So I think kind of hard to pick just one, but anytime a guest opens up and shares their story, it kind of sticks with me, because they're trusting me with their story. And I feel a little bit of responsibility with that because they're telling me a story that's deeply personal, deeply meaningful to them, sometimes about the darkest moments that they've ever experienced. And I want to make sure that I do right by them and put that episode out there so that people will hear it. They'll get the message, and their struggle, their suffering won't be for nothing. It'll be able to be out there and help other people. So it's an honor to be trusted with those types of stories. There's one person in particular. I won't mention who this person is because I don't know if he wanted me to tell this publicly, and so I'll keep it anonymous. But I did have a guest once who told this story, and it was for the very first time on this podcast that he told his story, at least publicly. And it was an incredibly emotional story for him to tell. It was emotional to listen to. It was definitely, you could tell there was a lot to it. And after we stopped recording, I could see that it was an emotional experience for him. And he thanked me for allowing him to share his story. And it felt like there was a weight that was lifted from him. You could kind of see it, that like he was relieved to finally be able to tell this story publicly. And I think he kind of got hooked on podcasting or sharing a story, at least, because he did ask me if I could introduce him to some other podcasters that I knew so he could keep sharing that story, which I think is great. Because, you know, sometimes your story that you're struggling through, your story that you made it through, could be the roadmap for somebody else. And so, you know, this guy, he shared his story, and hopefully it was a roadmap for somebody else to figure out, you know, their way out of whatever dark hole they may have found themselves in. So conversations like that help release the floodgates a bit for one person, but it shows others that it's okay to share their story. And that can have a snowball effect and spread like wildfire. You know, if your friend's sharing their story and you think it's okay to share yours, and you share your story to somebody else, and then they think it's okay to share theirs, and you know, people keep talking and opening up and sharing, and like, hey, geez, I'm not alone. There's somebody else out there. And so, you know, to me, I think that's where the memorable moments come in, is when I'm able to share those stories and help people get that story out there, and hopefully help some other folks along the way. Now, as for the dumb host moments, there've been plenty of those. I think the biggest dumb host moment that I've had, and maybe I've had more than once, is mispronouncing guest names. I think that's kind of the classic one that I have kind of dealt with. Any guest will tell you, though, that I always ask to make sure that I have the pronunciation of their name correct before we start recording. My last name, Deluzio, gets butchered all the time, so I hate doing that to other people. I don't care if the person's name is John Smith that I'm talking to. I'll always ask to make sure I'm saying it correctly. Because, you know, who knows? They might put an accent in there somewhere, and somehow I'll come off looking like the dumb one because I pronounce it Smith instead of Smythe or something like that. Who knows? Another moment that comes to mind, it wasn't so much my fault, as a dumb host kind of thing, but as it was the platform that I was recording on. But since it's my show and I chose the platform, I'm going to own it as my fault. This was early on, probably in the first 10 or 20 episodes. I recorded an awesome interview with a guest. It just hit all the points that I wanted to hit, and it flowed so well, and it was just a great episode. Unfortunately, that episode never saw the light of day. And because the platform that I was using recorded both the guest audio and my audio in separate files, which is standard practice in a lot of platforms these days. And there's reasons for that. I won't get into that now, but if you have questions about that, reach out, let me know. But anyway, when I went to edit the episode and piece everything together, bring the guest's audio and my audio together and make it one coherent file that, audio file that you can hear everything in conversation as opposed to layered one after the other, I realized that I only was able to get about the first 10 minutes of the guest's audio out of about a 45-minute interview. Unfortunately, the platform only kept the first 10 minutes for whatever reason. I have no idea why. I was never able to figure out why, but I learned from that issue, and I switched to another platform to record on, and never went back to the other platform. I'm not going to say the other platform's name now, because I think they've made significant changes in how they do things, and I think they're a lot better now, and I don't want to turn people off from it, but regardless, I'm not going back to it. If you choose to, that's fine, and I've recorded other episodes on other people's podcasts on the same platform. And it turned out to be just fine. And so I think it was, a temporary glitch that happened early on. And, I've moved on from there, and I switched to another platform. The guest was, a friend of mine and was kind enough to re-record the interview. So we ended up getting something out there. It wasn't the same episode, obviously, as the first one, although I did ask a lot of the same questions, but you know how it is when you have a conversation, you kind of already know some of the answers. It's like, I don't want to ask that question because I already know the answer. But I sort of played dumb a little bit and asked some of the same questions, even though I knew the answers that the guest was going to give. But I did feel like I had some egg on my face after that one. Fortunately, it's been about 480, 490 episodes or so since then, and that hasn't happened again. There have been other things that have happened, but that's another story for another day, I suppose. One last thing, though, that wasn't a dumb host thing. Well, maybe an ignorant host thing, I guess you can say, did happen. So most podcast hosting platforms will give you some statistics for the number of people who listen to your show. Some platforms have better statistics than others, but that's besides the point. Most have at least some sort of basic analytic data available. And earlier this year, I was taking a look at those numbers for this podcast, and I noticed a huge, sharp decline in the number of listeners that I was getting for this show. I scratched my head, trying to figure out what went wrong. I was asking, did I say the wrong thing? Did I offend somebody without even realizing it? I couldn't figure it out. I went back to the last few episodes over the last, month or so, prior to looking at all this stuff. And I was looking, I was like, nothing was really controversial. Nothing was crazy. So I couldn't figure it out. I ended up reaching out to a friend who does coaching for podcasters. And he took a look at my statistics. And he pointed out that a huge chunk of listeners that I had prior to this year were coming from Samsung Podcasts, which, to be perfectly honest, I didn't even realize was a platform. Again, this is me being ignorant. Well, it turns out that in December of 2024, Samsung pulled the plug on Samsung Podcasts. And with that went all the followers that I had on that platform. Yeah, bummer, right? And while that was a bummer, and I'm still pretty upset about it, that did make me realize that I cannot rely on a single platform to deliver my content. Not that I chose those listeners to use that platform. It's just the platform that they happen to find me on. And that's fine. That's how everybody, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or YouTube or wherever it is that you're listening, you're using one of those platforms. And I still distribute to all those platforms, and that's fine. But I think I was putting all my eggs in one basket. And that's why I started including a thing at the beginning of my episodes about subscribing to the podcast newsletter. I send out an email for each episode that directs people to where they can listen to the episode on the podcast website. I didn't put much time or effort into growing that list previously because, it was sort of an afterthought to me, and that was my fault, obviously. But I'm doing that now to sort of, I guess, own the platform and therefore the audience. And so if I lose subscribers, it should be clear why I'm losing subscribers, because I messed something up or the content is no longer relevant to the subscriber. But it shouldn't be because some executive at Samsung or any other company decided to pull the plug on their podcast app. And so, yeah, I guess that was something that, yeah, again, like I said, it was a bummer, but you live, you learn, you drive on, right? Anyway, I want to wrap up this episode by saying thank you again to all the listeners for helping me make it to 500 episodes. You know, whether you've listened to one or all 500 episodes, I'm grateful that you're here. If you're new to the show, I hope this episode gave you a sense of what the show is all about. And if you've been here for a while, thank you for sticking around, sticking with it as I'm stumbling around trying to figure out how to do these podcast episodes and making them better. You know, regardless of, you know, whether this is the first episode or not that you've listened to, please do me a favor and consider sharing this podcast with somebody who you think might need to hear it. Spread it around your social media, you know, or, you know, send it in a private message to somebody, whatever the case may be. Send it out, because you never know. There might be someone out there in your life who might be struggling and just not able to reach out and get the help that they need. They just don't know where to turn, or they don't know who to ask. So even if you're not suspecting that somebody needs that help, share it anyways, because you never know who might need to hear it. And if you haven't already, I'm going to do this at the end of the episode. I know I said earlier I'd do this at the beginning, but I'm going to do this right now. If you haven't already, head over to driveonpodcast.com/subscribe to get onto the email newsletter. It also has links for where you can subscribe to the podcast on other platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and a bunch of other places. Presumably, though, if you are listening right now, you're already on a podcast platform of one sort or another. Make sure you hit the subscribe button on there, on that platform. But also, get onto the email newsletter. You're going to... I don't send spam messages. I send episodes whenever a new... Sorry, I send emails whenever a new episode is released. And when you first sign up, I'll send you one email right off the bat. It'll send you 5 episodes right away to get you started. I think it's a good starting point. You know, the episodes cover a variety of topics and things that you can kind of expect from this show. So if you haven't listened to other episodes, they'll give you the first 5 to kind of dive right into. I guess that's it. So here's to the next 500 episodes. Let's see if I make it that far. If I make it to 1,000, I don't know. Maybe I'll do something bigger and better for episode 1,000. Maybe I'll do a live recording and, you know, rent out a place somewhere and get a bunch of people in there to share in that milestone. But regardless, we'll see where that takes us. That's going to be a few years down the line, I'm sure. But stay safe. And as always, drive on.